You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain of Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from MassLive.com, here with Sam Jam Packer the Great, formerly of WEEI, now the funniest Celtics podcaster who ever lived. We're here to talk about Celtics Suns, an ugly game. Marcus Morris got hurt. That's probably the biggest news, although he has already downplayed his right ankle sprain. Jason Tatum, another big game for the rookie, 23 points. We got Mad Brad showing up early in the third quarter after the Celtics had just had a really rough end of the second quarter and then come out kind of the same way in the third quarter. And what else we got? Not too much. It's going to be
Mike Gorman hating on Josh Jackson was probably my favorite theme of the night.
Yeah, you were big on the Mike Gorman hate on Josh Jackson. I saw a few other people tweet about that. I didn't notice it that much.
It felt like every time down the court, it was just Scal trying to defend Josh Jackson. And Gorman was just like, oh, this guy's going to shoot again. You can just tell. Look at Josh Jackson shooting again. It was fantastic. I like snarky Mike Gorman. It's the best. He's earned it.
Fair enough, yeah. And so the backstory to that, I don't know if his opinion is changed by this, but over the summer, Josh Jackson set up a workout with the Celtics and had Danny Ainge and Mike Sarin literally fly out to, I believe he was in Sacramento at the time. So they flew cross country, and then Josh Jackson did not end up working out for them. They flew out there for nothing. Couldn't even meet with him, and just flew back the next day. So
savage move by Josh Jackson.
That is a savage move. You got to do what you got to do in the pre-draft process. In that process, you don't have too many ways to push yourself to one place or another. So do you, man. Anyway, I don't know if that's why Gorman has some disdain for Josh Jackson. Who knows? But interesting backs.
Gorman's a team player. You attack the team, you attack Gorman. I like that he takes it like that. Gorman's not going to just let it up easy. That's fantastic.
Yeah, if you make Danny Ainge fly cross country for no reason, you might as well have made Mike Gorman fly cross country for no reason. Anyway, Marcus Morris, end of the third quarter. Just a tough, tough luck. Same ankle he sprained two games ago, had to sit out one game, and he'd already had 20 points. He continued to be totally unconscious from the three-point arc, and then just really bad luck. I believe it was Troy Daniels whose foot he came down on, limped off. X-rays were negative. Morris is downplaying the injury, so hopefully it's not too big a deal. Only 2.5 weeks left of the regular season, only 8 games left. So if it is a high ankle sprain, if it is a serious one, it's something that could potentially impact him through the playoffs, but it's good news that he didn't seem too worried about it after the game.
Yeah, my official diagnosis after the game was that I didn't think it was that serious, and it was just immediately borne out by Marcus Morris when he got into the locker room. But that was I acknowledge that's an absurd thing to say, but can these injuries, man, just keep piling up for the Celtics? It's kind of absurd at this point. And it's amazing that they keep winning basketball games. The 4 in a row at this point, I don't know if they should be continue to play anyone. Like Jason Tatum, even though he's got some real cool sideburns now and is playing his ass.
How about you, sideburns? You want some of this milk?
Right on, my friend. Right on. There's no reason to play any of these guys. Like Al Horford get him out of there until the playoffs because they're just going to keep getting hurt. I know they can't do that. You really can't. They just have to play basically the players they have right now. But what else are the Celtics playing for right now? It's kind of amazing that they are still winning basketball games when they could have easily just kind of – I guess it's not the Brad Stevens way just to kind of like pack it in or not try your hardest. But it's impressive how many injuries they've had and the fact that they've been able to keep winning.
Well, I think part of it, too, is – they played the Kings, and then they played the Suns. Two teams that are just total hot garbage.
Definitely helpful. Definitely helpful.
Yeah, and I mean, those Celtics were – they played no defense for the first half against the Kings. They had a horrific second quarter against the Suns where they lost almost all of a 20-point lead almost instantly. They ended up allowing the Suns to tie the game at 50. So – they haven't played great basketball, but they've done enough. And honestly, the way the standings are, they've given themselves a slight, ever so slight chance of catching the Raptors, which I still don't think is going to happen with Kyrie Irving down and with so many injuries. I still think that's a very slight chance. But also, like, they've all but clinched the number two seed, which is a big deal. And then you can rest guys, you can try to get guys back and see what happens. The standings, they're getting kind of wild, man. Celtics could play the Wizards in the first round. Imagine.
That's a dangerous thing that could happen with John Wall coming back. That's not the first round series. If you're the Celtics are without Kyrie Irving and the Wizards have John Wall returning, that's some first round scaries right there.
Yeah, you don't want to go into the first round and John Wall is back and Kyrie is still out and you have to play the Wizards. Like, no, much rather play Miami, much rather play Milwaukee, even though the Bucks have Giannis, I think. The Wizards have proven that they can be a tough out in the playoffs. And so we'll see. A lot still to unfold. But Celtics almost definitely locked into the two seed. And these wins have just solidified them. Marcus Morris, like, the guy has just been unconscious. Like, ever since Kyrie went down, I think it has something to do with his knee, something to do with taking more three-pointers, more in the flow of the offense instead of in the flow of ISO Mook shots. And he's just playing great ball. He's been over 20 points the last three games for the first time in his career, which seems weird. I feel like he lives.
Yeah, definitely should have been on a run. He feels like a streaky enough guy that he should have been able to pull off 20 more than three times in a row. I was actually surprised to hear that stat.
Yeah, and he's never played on great teams before, so that kind of stunned me that he never did that in like Phoenix or he never did it in Detroit. But Mook is catching fire like Mook has never caught fire before.
Not anymore. He better not play against the Utah Jazz because they are going to need him to rest up that ankle as much as possible. It's the thing is, like, how much do you think the Celtics care about that the Raptors game on Saturday? Because they still can play for first place. If they beat they play the Raptors twice. If they beat them twice and then the Raptors lose, I think, another game or either two games on top of that, and the Celtics win out, which would be kind of wild, but they do have a chance of catching them. And the Raptors play the Cavs and the Pacers remaining still. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's a chance. How much do you kind of press for that versus just like Marcus Morris, you take as much time as you need because we're going to need 35 minutes from you a night in the playoffs?
I think you just let whatever happens, happens. You have to, right? Like, I mean, if you catch Toronto, you catch Toronto. But it's such a slim chance at this point that –
and it doesn't change at all who you're going to play because anything could change between the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed right now.
So yeah, I guess it would matter. Like, imagine if you catch the Raptors for the 1 seed and it's this awesome thing, and then, boom, John Wall slips to 8, and all of a sudden he's playing and healthy for the first round. Like, that could happen. Wizards are playing ball.
And if you want to avoid the Cavs with the way the Sixers are playing right now, the Sixers could reach the 3 seed, and then you end up playing the Cavs in the second round no matter what. So it's best not to play around with kind of standings shenanigans.
You don't mess with the basketball gods. The basketball gods they've already cursed the Celtics this season. And speaking of that, Little B, the base god, man, you're the biggest fraud in the history of the world. You gave your blessing to the Boston Celtics, and all they've done is get injured every single night. All they've done is take.
Are you blaming Little B for the injuries?
Yeah, Little B. No, I'm not blaming him for anything. He has no sort of power.
He has zero clout.
He just has zero clout, zero pull. Like, that guy, biggest fraud. Biggest fraud out there.
What a cosmic idiot.
I've always hated the Little B, the base god curse, because he's one of the most trash rappers who ever trashed on this earth. And the fact that people pay attention to his curse is so stupid. So, that's my rant against
tomorrow. He's going to curse us. If this gets round to him, I'm going to drop dead tomorrow, and it's going to be on your blood.
I mean,
or on your, my blood's going to be on your hands.
I mean, okay. James Harden, guy he previously cursed, is about to win the MVP. Celtics, who have his blessing, have been injured every single game, the entire freaking season.
So are the Warriors, who also have his blessing.
Yeah, so little B, the based fraud, man.
That's a nice turn of phrase. That's why you're a professional writer.
I appreciate that. Anyway, Al Horford said tonight that Jason Tatum is his rookie of the year. And I don't want to get too much into the rookie of the year stuff. I don't think Tatum deserves to win rookie of the year. I think Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons have been too good. I do think it is really, really impressive that Jason Tatum has given the Celtics what they've needed as a two-way player and played winning basketball from game one. And now you see with Kyrie Irving out, with all the injuries they've had, he's stepping into an expanded role. He's still playing really well. And in this game against the Suns, 23 points. You saw a little some hiccups when he was a playmaker off the dribble. He threw an alley-oop that never had a chance of touching anybody. He had, I believe, 4 turnovers and 0 assists. But it's promising the way that he has stepped up his game, expanded his role without Kyrie Irving. Because for a lot of the season, he's just kind of been more of a role player and played off other guys. And now it's like, okay, Jason Tatum has to kind of do his own thing for the Celtics to be successful. And he is, and he's doing more. He's increased his usage rate a bit. He's taking more shots, and he's still being efficient, still scoring. So Tatum really been impressive during this stretch, kind of refining himself after he struggled for a little while.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that he has played in 73 every single game, has started every single game. His durability has been impressive coming out of college, where he only played, what was it, I think 19 games, something like that, in his freshman year at Duke. Like, to be able to go through all of that and still kind of constantly be improving. He definitely had a down stretch in the middle of the year, but now we see him where he clearly feels natural with the ball in his hands, creating, able to show off a little bit of the sauce that we know he's good at. It's been an interesting development just to see it, because it's something that you just don't think would have ever happened if Hayward never got hurt. But he's been able to take it and start literally every single game. I'm still impressed by that stat, just considering all the Celtics injuries this year. Tatum's been the one consistent guy, and he's still playing very good defense. And now that he has more of a chance, we can just kind of see the crazy scorer that he is already, and that when he becomes, like, one, just larger, and then two, more consistent, he's going to be pretty unstoppable in this league. Like, he's, with all of that being said, he's definitely not the rookie of the year. Like, it's either Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons. I lean towards Donovan Mitchell just sort of out of anti-Philly spite, but I think either of them probably deserve it.
Yeah, and this Suns game, one of the things that kind of been a theme of the season, but one of the things that Tatum needs to evolve is he settled for long jumpers again off the dribble. He's got to move those behind the arc, and he's still not totally comfortable catching on the shoot and letting it fly. Like, there are a lot of situations this game, most games, where he catches.
There's so many times where he doesn't just immediately shoot the ball when he, like, catches and it's open. It's very frustrating to watch sometimes.
Yeah,
his first move is like a hesitation move always.
and you can kind of understand it. He's never been a three-point shooter before. As accurate as he's been from behind the arc, this is his first time ever really doing it. Like Duke, he shot threes, but he wasn't great at them. High school, he never really shot threes. So he's really kind of stepping into a new shot and something he's never done before in his career. So it's really promising what he's done so far, but you can see every game like just how much he's going to grow and how much room there is to grow. So that was one thing I thought stood out. And then Al Horford, 19, 9, and 7, I believe, almost a triple-double.
Do you mean Al Horford, the best defensive player on the best defensive team in the league, that Al Horford?
Yeah, awesome Al.
Yeah, awesome Al. That no one, when everyone's like talking about him, they don't bring up that he's the best defensive player on the best defensive team in the league. I just I have to keep introducing him with this full title now because he doesn't get the respect he deserves.
Reintroduce himself.
Allow me to reintroduce Al Horford. His name's Al. A-L.
There you go. Yeah, his name is Al. His name is Al Horford and still very good at basketball. I kind of love the way Tyler Ulis plays, man. I tweeted about it. Tyler Ulis is just like he tries to get under people's skin. He's pressuring like three-quarters court, really picking people up. And to do that in such a losing environment, you can tell that guy's just a winner. Like, he has every reason to quit. He has every reason to just be chilling. And he's out there scrapping. I'm a big Tyler Ulis guy.
Do you think him and Shane Larkin are immediate friends because they're both under like 5'10"?
And both,
do you think they're natural enemies?
And both tough pricks. It was kind of like the Spider-Man meme where they're just like looking at each other.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But so, do you think that makes them begrudgingly respect each other, or they hate each other, or they're best of friends?
I feel like little guys all root for each other.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like if covering Isaiah Thomas taught me one thing, it's that all the little guys root for each other. So.
Yeah, that was okay. That makes sense.
I mean, convinced me. Covering Isaiah Thomas.
I thought they were enemies, but that was probably just wishful thinking on my part. But you're right. The little guys probably have to band together.
Yeah. There aren't too many guys under 6 feet in the league. So the ones who are, they definitely stick together. What else? Did you have anything else from this game? There wasn't too much, honestly. Jaylen Brown.
Some solid Tatum versus Josh Jackson just going at each other in the first quarter. That's pretty much how the game started, and it was interesting. And that was probably when Mike Gorman was the angriest about Josh Jackson. But it was cool to see them those two guys go up against each other. It's a weird thing about the Suns team is that they have, like, you see flashes of talent with Josh Jackson, with Bender. Ulis is there. Booker. Do you think the Suns are ever going to be good? I guess they could like draft DeAndre Ayton this year and then be really good, but it's just like seems like such a losing organization.
It is weird. I feel like I like parts of their core. I like actually not too many parts. I like Jackson and I like Devin Booker. I'm not sure on Dragon Bender. I'm not a Marquise Chris guy, although he was fine tonight. I like Ulis as like a spark plug bench guy. And then the rest of them, you could like.
Alex Len is hot garbage.
You could ship the rest of them anywhere, and it wouldn't affect the NBA one bit, except the Suns would get a little better. So, yeah, they still have a long way to go.
Jackson and DeAndre Ayton, that's a pretty nice little young core you got going right there.
Yeah, I mean, they could have a good future, but they need to hit on another guy. I think just two of them, sure. But they need Bender to improve. They need Chris to become something, and they need to round out the rest of the roster. Like that's a bad roster. Not a competitive roster. Celtics were not good for long portions of the game. They're missing two All-Stars, their sixth man, and one of their top three or four big men. And it should have been an easy win. Kind of was an easy win. One thing I thought was interesting, Jaylen Brown kind of played like a more of a lead role, I thought, for the second unit. They left him in with the second unit, and it didn't always go well, but he did some fun things. He did have four turnovers, like Jason Tatum.
He kind of looked like loopy out there tonight with some of the turnovers. I don't know if it was just like back-to-back after a concussion, but you're right. He had more of a kind of facilitate more or doing more in the offense, and it didn't necessarily work. It worked at some moments. I guess you always got to praise someone for trying, learning. You got to push through those mistakes, but there's some times where he just – there was one lob attempt that, like, most of the internet was – all of Celtics Twitter was divided between whether or not it was a lob or a shot attempt. That was another thing that was going on tonight. Well, what was, like, the Celtics had – were what, 0 for 9 on lobs?
I think it was honestly 0 for 4. It was just one bad lob and, like, one horrific lob after the next. And it was people were going up, and it looked like guys were going to get injured half the time going after him. It was ugly. Honestly, Brad Stevens needs to just shelf the lob. Like, Marcus Smart needs to be the only one allowed to throw alley-oops. Actually, Marcus Morris threw a good pass, but Jason Tatum didn't finish it. I will give credit to Mook Morris, who threw a solid alley-oop, but Tatum did not put it in. And then the rest of the Celtics were just firing passes to no one.
Tatum threw one to Horford, and Horford wasn't even in the paint. Like, it was just a lob to nothing.
Yeah, I think when they get like a couple of days off after the regular season, they should just practice lobs for an hour and a half. Like, just straight alley oops to Jalen. Everybody throws alley oops to Jalen for an hour and a half.
I don't know. And if he's a little bit scared of dunking now because of his previous injury, the Hayward stuff, I don't know. That plan just feels like it brings up a lot of emotions, and I just think it's dangerous.
Alley-oops to Ojale?
Yeah.
Would the rim survive?
He's never going to be injured in his life.
Would the rim survive?
No, but can Shemmy get up that high?
Another thing, seemed like Baines played more minutes in the second half because Brad was just fuming about the defense in the first half. And he
played like 10 minutes in a row to open the second, didn't he?
Yeah.
And was like busting his ass down low. That's like the Celtics really didn't have a lot of reason to try super hard on a back-to-back in Phoenix against the like one of the worst teams in the league. But then you just have Baines in the third quarter. It's like, I'm going to bust my ass for every single rebound. That's kind of like, I guess I don't like to say like the Celtics way or like, but it's kind of like ingrained into the culture where you don't give up games. It's rare that you see them just kind of not be close or not play their asses off.
Yeah, they're very into playing their asses off. I guess that's how you, get the top ranked defense. It wasn't the crispest game. It brought out Mad Brad. He reemerged. He was fuming. Abby Chin on the sideline reporting said it was the angriest she'd seen Brad in a while. So,
and then she said he talked about how you guys got to get out there, you got to have fun. This isn't fun, and I thought that was hilarious because he's just like a fuming Brad Stevens talking about how these guys need to have fun. That was a great moment in my head.
Yeah, that was classic Brad. So I think that's it, man. That's got to be it, right?
I don't have any more things to – let me just check the reigning junk drawer. Oh, Scal said that he gave a terrible review of Ray Allen's book. He was basically just like, yeah, that book didn't really capture the team I was on. I guess I would read it. It was pretty funny. And then Scal said the only book he would write would be fiction, and I'm totally down to hear whatever Scal has to – like what fiction book he has to write.
I'm in for Scal fiction too. Absolutely in for Scal fiction. I think that would be glorious. Scal fiction, man. What if Scal just starts lobbing insults at some of his teammates? Like just taking shots.
Scal writes a tell-all book that finally we all know what Rondo and Ray Allen were fighting over all that time.
I still can't believe they're still fighting, man. Just put it to bed, guys. Jesus Christ.
Nah, J. King, you are like the biggest fan of beef there is.
But this is stale beef. This is 10-year-old stale beef, man. You can't mess with stale beef. You need new beef.
You need new wounds.
You need funeral fresh game meat. Beef. And preferably guys who are on different teams.
You like that the active beef, not the – you like active physical violent conflict rather than just people talking about quotes and stuff in the press. You like Jay Crowder booping John Wall.
Yeah, give me that stuff, man. And give me health. For once, I want to write about a Celtics game that does not involve an injury. Just one time. It's just been injury after injury after injury. I need health. I need it. Just for me. Not for the team. Not for anybody else. Just so that I don't have to write about injuries anymore. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I need. So, dear little be the base god.
Dear base god, you hear Jay King's prayers.
If you have any powers, make them known now. All right, let's end it there. To those listening, if you don't subscribe to us already, you can search for us Locked On Celtics anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever else. We're the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever recorded. And we watched Celtics Suns, so we could bring this to you. Which, really, we should get a medal or something. So take care, guys. Enjoy. That's it for this episode. The Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On podcast. Yeah.